Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 39. I'm going to ask if you are able to stand for the reading of the Gospel. And for each one of us, may the word of God fall afresh on our ears this day. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the loneliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. We are into the third week of Advent. Can you believe it? We've talked about peace and hope, what it means to be almost there, not quite, and what it means to be all together. All of this tied into John Wesley's original sermon, Almost Christian, and what that means to us, that we wrestle with what it means to be almost on the outward appearance. We look like we're there, but on the inside, we haven't quite made the leap to all together. And that difference being what's going on in our heart. When it comes to love, there are so many things bombarding us of what exactly love means. So it's very easy to fall short of an altogether love and settle for an almost. Love comes across in different ways. You have that family love, that family that you're brought into, that if when you are nurtured and accepted, that love grows naturally, that love and that loyalty for your family. There is a romantic love that when we are looking for that significant other, what that means, when our heart is all a flutter, and what the little rabbit on Bambi says, twitterpated, right? When we think we found that one person. There's the love we have for our friends, and there is even a kind of love that we have for strangers, and even a love we show for people we do not know, but we know who are going a hard time when we go out and sacrifice. You know, people don't even have to believe in God for a type of love to be generated in them. There are a lot of non-believers out there who will do good things. They will work for nonprofits. They will work hard for Habitat for Humanity. I personally believe that you don't have to have God's permission to work through you. All good things come from God, even though people may not believe that, right? But what does that, how does that differ from being a Christian? So you go to an almost, from a non-believer to an almost Christian. On the outward appearance, you may not be able to tell a non-believer from a Christian when it comes to doing good. All right. But in a Christian's personal life, there's probably prayer. There's probably some discussion about God, some theological discussions going on in the household. There's going to be some Christian practices. And then the difference between that, on the outward appearance, what about an altogether Christian? Why is it important, and what difference does it make if we're all going to do good anyway? It makes a difference within our own souls of what's going on in there. When we talk about peace and hope and love and joy, it's this experience of the Holy Spirit working within us, that we're pursuing these attributes that Christ brings, because we live in a world that is almost and not yet. When we talk about the kingdom of God, that it is the believers that are bringing the kingdom of God. But we can't do that if we are not already living in the kingdom of God, in a place where the kingdom of God is not yet. Very confusing, isn't it? Right? When we talk about these things. We were designed, we were created by the very hand of God to experience love. From the very moment we are conceived and begin growing in the womb, we are being created and designed to experience and to give love. Babies who are born who do not receive love, who do not receive that nurturing touch, that hear that sweet, soothing voice, will not thrive. We will not thrive without love, without expressions of love. We will die without it. And not only for infants, but as we move on into childhood, adolescence, and adulthood, if we do not feel loved and accepted, we will die. We will begin dying inside. We'll begin wondering, is life worth living? And if we do not believe that anybody loves us, we will take that final step, and we may even take our own life. If we do not believe that we are loved, accepted, and valued by anybody else on this planet. That is how valuable love is. It is extreme. I find it absolutely amazing that we are created to experience love and to give love. I think about the birth of my own children, how extraordinary that was as a mother, where there was no love whatsoever. All of a sudden, this baby shows up, and my heart has grown 10 times the size that it was. And that when I look back, and my mom always telling me that she loved me, I did not understand that love until I loved my own children. That for most of us in this world, we were born into nurturing homes to experience that love, and how critical that is. And for those of us who were not, how devastating that is, that it will change the trajectory of our lives for the rest of our lives. And what it means to overcome that is traumatic and excruciating. I think about, when I think about these circumstances, how important it is to be loved, how important it is to be cherished, Mary's circumstance. In a world where women were not as valued, as treasured, as boys and men were, they were not equal, that their lives were not as valuable. They were easily tossed aside. They were easily excused. Mary finds herself in a place that is countercultural. She is betrothed to a man named Joseph. They have not had any kind of physical relationship. They are promised to each other, and she finds herself to be pregnant. I cannot imagine her initial thoughts as she begins to think this through. And if she did not understand what it meant to be accepted and loved, she would have gone over the deep end. But even though she lived in a culture that did not value her, she knew a God who did. Even though she lived in a culture that did not value her, she knew a God that did. I wonder what her thoughts were outside of the biblical text. Because if she is any normal human being, it's going to be a roller coaster ride, right? There's going to be those moments when she has full trust in God. God's got this. God did this. And I'm going to make it through and it's going to be okay. And then there's going to be moments like, oh my gosh, how is Joseph going to handle this? What is he going to say? What is my family going to say? What are my parents going to say? Are they going to accept this? Am I going to be outcast? Am I going to have to deal with this alone? And as she travels to Elizabeth's house, okay, when you're in the car alone, how many of you go on autopilot while you're driving, but your mind is thinking? Thinking about your day, thinking about people's responses to you, thinking about what you've done, thinking about the good things, thinking about the bad things. Your mind goes all over the place. All right, imagine that, but in something slower, like a donkey, and you've got hours. And there's no music. There's nothing to occupy your mind. There's nobody else to talk to. And your mind is racing about your circumstance, about the unknown. How many of you have ever wondered about the unknown and about the outcome? That it is so out of your control. Mary sits in a place where she has the potential to lose everything. Don't think that she didn't think about this stuff. The potential of losing the possibility of marriage, not just to Joseph, but to anybody. To be an outcast in her parents' home. That when she arrives at Elizabeth's house, it is so early on in her pregnancy that no one can tell yet. Did she even plan to tell Elizabeth? Was she going to fill them out to see how they responded? Was she even planning to tell them? Because notice in the scripture, she doesn't. By some powerful Holy Spirit circumstance, Elizabeth knows and is able to proclaim the gospel, a beautiful, loving expression to a very, very young girl. And it is then that Mary begins to praise God. She finds a safe place, a loving place, an accepting place, where she can truly begin to process what this means. with another woman who is experiencing some amazing, crazy God stuff. In a world that is chaotic and violent and unpredictable, oftentimes we are safe harbors for one another. This is what it means to be a loving people. There's an expression within me that my soul cries out whenever I'm in trouble, whether it is my own doing or whether I'm just extremely tired when I know I've made a mistake and I'm beating myself up. And it's, I hear this small, still voice within me. It is my voice that says, I want to go home. Have you ever had your soul cry out, I want to go home? I'm not really sure what I'm crying out for, but I know that I'm crying out for safety, that serenity, that safe harbor. That is love. That sense of safety, that we are each other's safety net and God is our ultimate safety net. When we are created for love, this is really what it boils down to. I want you to think about this, that God wanted us to understand and love, know love, the depth of our Creator's love so much that God would come as an infant. The one thing that comes into the earth that instantaneously, for most of the time, creates love that did not exist before. You know, we meet one another as adults, and we will love each other, and we will fall in love with each other, whether that's a friendship love or romantic love. But it's a growing kind of love. But when a baby is born into the world, it is this instantaneous, crazy love for the mom, especially for the dad, for the grandparents, for all involved, right? And here comes God being born into that. What that symbolizes for us. Where there was none, there is. Right? And not only to come into the world vulnerable, but to be and express, to receive love from human hands and to experience that and be able to give it out into the world as he grows up into the world. What it means to for our Creator to be fully human walking on this planet is an interesting thought. And God did that so that we would know how much God wanted to be with humanity. There's something about presence that expresses love. You know, we get all crazy during this time of year, buying gifts. I have been to the stores so many times looking for bargains. Y'all know Pally Royal's going out of business, right? Just can't tell you how many times I've been over there looking for gifts for all the people that I know. And in a time of year when love is supposed to be expressed so greatly, to remind us what love is, this part of my spirit says, oh my gosh, if I have to go to the store one more time, and instead of love, I feel agitated that I have to buy all these people gifts. How many of you feel that way? I don't feel love right now. I feel like maybe I should break up with some people. Right? And I want you to register that at a time when we are supposed to be remembering what love is. We are exasperated. And when the scripture defines love, love is patient. Oh, not so much right now. Love is kind. I don't want to be with anybody else right now. Don't make me. Right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love surrenders. Love doesn't hold grudges. If I have to get in traffic one more time and somebody else does this to me again, I'm just going to get out of my car and punch them in the throat. Right? We aren't feeling it because the season of Advent calls us to be countercultural. Our culture is going crazy nuts berserk right now. And we're called to be something else. We're called to bear love into the world. We're not called to buy more gifts. We're called to be present in the world. We're not called to buy more gifts. Some of you give me a hallelujah. We're called to be present in the world. I think about those moments in my life that I have felt so extremely loved, and it didn't come in a wrapped package with a bow. It was when somebody sat at a table with me, that broke bread with me, played cards with me, talked to me when I was deeply hurting, noticed me and saw me, gave me encouraging words, built me up, forgave me when I needed it, set me lovingly on the right path. That's when I experienced the most powerful love. The gifts that meant most to me were the gifts that I know that people sacrificed for. It wasn't the gift itself. It was the meaning behind the gift. Most gifts, I don't even remember last year. I was talking to Max, like, do you remember what we got last year? I don't remember. Do you people remember what you got last year? Yeah, those gifts mean that much. Thanks. Right? And we go crazy over something that from a year from now isn't going to be remembered. And we get so hurried, we forget how powerful it is to be loved and to give love and what that means to somebody else. So when we talk about being altogether Christian, it means being countercultural. It means that we're going to give a different kind of gift. That we're going to take back the true meaning that fills our hearts, our souls, our minds, and not just our closets and our garages and our drawers and anything else that is overflowing. When our hearts remain full of stuff that we don't need, like anger and bitterness. When we look out in the world, we live in a hurting world, folks. There are so many people, and there might be a few in here, that don't feel loved, that don't feel valued, that think they have made so many mistakes that they can never overcome it, and nobody ever, 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 ever will learn to love them. That God could never love them. Folks, that is not ever true. The gift that we can bear into the world is to bring something where there was nothing. And that is the power of love. Sounds like a good 80s hit, doesn't it? So, your homework this week, as we become and we strive to be all together Christians, bearing Christ into the world, is to self-reflect. Is there something within you that is keeping you to understand God's full love for you? That God wants to be present with you? Is there something that is keeping you from loving someone else? Or is there something in you that is keeping you to being feeling loved and valued? To think about those things within yourself, self-reflection, because that's what good Wesleyans do, but also to think about the opportunities for you to bear love into the world. Where can you be present? Where can you bring God? Where can you bring peace and hope and love into those lives that are struggling? Where can you bring life? For it is love that brings life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the praise band gets back on stage...